Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The COVID pandemic emergency is over, but that doesn't mean the threat of the disease is over. Between July 29th and August 5th, hospitalizations increased more than 12% nationally. 205 COVID-related deaths were recorded during the first week of August. So how do we address a COVID resurgence now, more than 3 years since the pandemic began in 2020? But joining me to talk about this is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. And you, the listener, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet or X me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Tuckson, good to have you back on the program.
Always great to be with you and this fantastic audience. Thank you.
Let me start with a really simple question. I call this a COVID comeback, but has COVID really ever left us?
No, in fact, it never did. The crisis certainly abated, and we can certainly tell that the death rate is extraordinarily, thank God, low, and the hospitalization rates, although starting to tick up a bit. But it's always sort of been there in the background. And what that means is that our old enemy, the Omicron variant, has had the opportunity to make more variations. It continues to do what viruses do, which is to evolve. And now we have another new version of it that seems to be outcompeting previous versions, and we're beginning now to see the impact. But no, this has been there, and we will be with us for a very long time to come. And so this is a disease that we're going to have to learn to live with.
What has changed from the CDC in May ended its COVID emergency? But what has changed since January of 2020? Has the disease changed? Is it vaccinations? Is it how we're dealing with it? What?
The disease continued to change for sure, but we were lucky enough as a society to get in front of it. Two things resulted in the lower numbers that we saw that allowed us to eliminate the emergency. Number one was that, you know, we did get a significant enough number of people vaccinated. That was a very important point. And for African Americans, I want to remind all of your audience that in the first time in history, the Black community closed a gap, a disparities in health gap with white America. When we finally got our act together, got everybody moving, thanks to the good work you've done on this show, the Black community's immunization rates were as high as any part in the country. And what we saw as a result was Black death rates were actually better in the last year of the pandemic than for white America. So Black Americans did better at survival than white Americans did because we didn't fall prey to all the nonsense. The other reason why, Harold, that the disease went down in addition to vaccination was we had a lot of people that got the disease and who thereby had some natural immunity. The combination of the natural immunity with a large number of vaccinated people and then people wearing their masks and the other things gave us the good results, although it just took too darn long. Too many people died that didn't have to die.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This is a Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about COVID resurgence. It is still with us, and we are seeing hospitalization rates start to tick up, and there have been some reports of deaths nationally related to COVID. If you have a a comment. If you have a question, give me a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What would you want people to know about COVID now and the rising numbers?
The first thing I want people to know that while we have to be attentive to this notion of rising numbers, it is not a time for panic, certainly not yet. Rising numbers on a low base is not as much of a crisis as rising numbers on a very high base. And so we aren't at a point of crisis. That being said, this is really going to be an individual person set of decisions and concerns. And we go back to the same things we said the last time. If you are a person whose immune system is compromised because of either the medicines you're taking or because of a disease that you have, or if you are particularly vulnerable because you're just chronically ill, or because you are an older, elderly person who is very fragile, they need to be particularly careful even right now, given the large numbers, the significantly increasing numbers of people that actually are becoming ill. Now, one of the things that we are watching carefully, this disease this time doesn't seem to be as, quote, serious, unquote, as the previous versions. And so that's true for the whole population. But, Harold, this is, again, individual. And so what I would say to people who are in a precarious situation or those who are coming into constant contact with someone who's in a precarious situation, you really do need to talk to your physician and make a decision in an individual basis whether you should take the available vaccines now rather than waiting until the fall when the new ones will be available. That's an individual decision and one that we can't say is going to be global for the entire city.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It's a Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about a resurgence of COVID-19. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. Jay, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Jay. What's on your mind?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. I had a question in regarding the vaccine. How is it that all across the world, and the records show that a lot of people that's getting vaccinated, a lot of the kids, they're having heart problems. Some of them are passing out on the basketball court, football games, and things of that nature. You're telling us, our people, to take this vaccine, and it hasn't even been proven yet.
Well, let's be very careful here, my brother, and let's make sure we know what we're saying. Number one, the reports that you are citing is not true. We do not have any of the data that tells us that these rumors, these misinformation about whether or not an adult got vaccinated and their child had a problem on a basketball court, those are not related things. And we need to stop putting that kind of stuff out there in the population because that is damaging and dangerous. Let me say to you, sir, that we do know, though, that COVID itself causes the myocarditis, the heart inflammation that is of great concern. And so we'll have to watch that carefully. But I want to be very clear about something you said, and we need to learn to listen to each other carefully with respect. I did not suggest yet that the average population take any vaccine, the booster yet. It is too, I think, early. That's why I was very specific that unless you are a person in a very high-risk category, that person needs to talk to their physician and decide whether the risk of the disease is worse than any risk that may conceivably be associated with the vaccine. I am not in a position today, to conclude my answer to you, I am not in a position today to suggest that the population get vaccinated. We have not seen the new vaccine yet. We have not seen any of the data on the safety profile of the new vaccine that will be coming out in the fall. So it is well premature to make any kind of statement like that. And I'm certainly not going to suggest that the population get vaccinated until we have seen the data on the new one, which will not be available until the fall.
Jay, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Tuckson, during the pandemic, when you were on this program, I asked you whether or not it appears that COVID will soon be relegated to the same position that influenza is, the flu. And what I'm hearing from you, for example, we have flu season, and that usually starts, what, in September and lasts all the way through, what, February, and sometimes even March. And every year we have new flu vaccines that come out to fight the various and sundry strains. Do you think that's kind of where we are with COVID-19 going forward?
I think it is absolutely where we are. What we know about the natural behavior of a living organism called these viruses is that they will change. Sometimes that change can make them more dangerous. Sometimes that change can make them less dangerous. And so they will fluctuate up and down. We've had flu seasons that have killed zillions of people. We've had flu seasons that were very mild. But here's the other complicating element to your very important question, Harold. We have several viruses that are circulating in addition to the COVID and the flu, but we also have something called RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. That is another common virus that is also out there. And how these three different viruses will interact with the population or an individual person is also unpredictable. So this is why it is so important that we stay vigilant, that we have to monitor carefully, and then provide people with facts and science so that every person can make the right decision for themselves, their family, and their community.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. It is our Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about a COVID resurgence as we move out of summer and into the fall. If you have a comment or a question, the doctor is in. Chandra calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening to the both of you. Doctor, I would like to know, do you suggest that the people start wearing their masks again? I'm talking about everybody. Because a lot of my friends and family, we never did stop wearing our masks, especially going in stores or around a lot of people. But what do you suggest about that, especially when some of the government workers, they're talking about sending the government workers back to work in September or October. What do you suggest about wearing the masks?
What a great question, and thank you for it. Here's what I would say. Number one, if you are a person who is immunocompromised, whose immune systems don't work that well for whatever reason, or if you are a very frail elderly person, I think that that's a decision that you might want to make to wear your mask right through here, because just being extra careful, but we are probably not at a place yet for the entire population to be encouraged to wear their mask. We have a lot more that we need to understand about the impact of mask wearing, how effective it was overall, and we're still studying that very carefully. But I would say this to you. If you are a person who would like to be extra cautious and prudent, I would suggest you go ahead and make yourself comfortable and wear your mask. Certainly if you're going to be around someone who is in a precarious situation, then you would want to wear your mask around them. Just an extra dose of caution, an extra dose of caring and loving for that person. But should the average person who is healthy walking around today wear their mask? That's not one of the recommendations we are making today for everybody. But if you're one of those kind of people that wants to, you know, have a belt and suspenders and just be a little bit more extra cautious, why not? Make yourself comfortable. It will do you no harm, that's for sure.
Thank you so much. I like your response.
Okay. Chandra, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're having a Medical Monday conversation. We're talking about, COVID-19. A resurgence is quite possible as we move out of the summer and into the fall and the winter. If you have a comment, if you have a question, Dr. Reed Tuckson is in. He will be answering them. And I still have a whole bunch of questions for you also, Doc. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues on SiriusXM Channel 141. Your phone calls are coming up next, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a bit. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are having a Medical Monday conversation. How do we address a COVID resurgence now, more than 3 years since the pandemic began way back in 2020? My guest is Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you can tweet or X me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. A lot of folks calling in with questions. I will be getting to you shortly. So here's you kind of touched on this earlier, Dr. Tuckson. I had the original vaccine, the first one, and then the second shot. I've also had the first booster and the second booster. I have never tested positive for COVID-19. However, my sister had it during the pandemic. My father had it. It was a contributing factor to his passing last year. But my cousin and her husband are just getting over it. They just got over it last week. They attended a funeral service in Lynchburg, Virginia, came back, had it. You know, we just had this Beyonce concert at FedEx Field just last week. There was, we've seen concerts all over the country. You know, they had that record-breaking Taylor Swift concert way up in the Pacific Northwest. During the pandemic, these kinds of gatherings contributed to many, many infections, but we're not seeing that now. How would you characterize where we are now with that?
I think we're in a wait and see period right now. One of the things that characterizes this period that we are in is that there still are, as you have just so eloquently laid out, a lot of people who still have antibodies against the previous strain of this disease floating around. It seems that the new variant that people are calling ERIS, E-R-I-S, this new variant seems to be close enough related to the previous ones that our pre-existing antibodies may well be holding us in good stead. So the point I'm getting at is that while we are, most of us, a ways out from either having been infected or having the vaccine, we are still probably more or less protected. That will wane over the next coming months, particularly, as we go into the fall. And so we now will be watching and expecting that there will be an uptick. And the question will be then whether or not the vaccines that are going to be available in the fall will be effective at protecting us. Hopefully this new strain will not be as serious as the previous strains. And I want to reiterate again for the audience, when we talk about the mutation, the change in these viruses, it doesn't always mean that they get worse. They simply may change. And so we'll have to watch that carefully. The bottom line answer to your question, Harold, we're in a wait-and-see zone. Prudence, be prepared. And I would urge the Black community to now use this time to get ready. Make sure that you are you learn your lessons from the last time. Make sure that we have test kits available. Let's make sure that our community and faith-based organizations have you as a volunteer, so that when we need them to come in on a big way in a crisis, they'll be there and able to respond. I think that's what we have to do now is be prepared.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Sid calling from North Carolina. Thanks for calling, Sid. What's on your mind? Sid, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Harold, can you hear me?
I most certainly can. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm going to try to be very quick. Thanks for taking my call, Harold.
Sure.
I was just going to say that while we're throwing out all the numbers and data at the general public, I think over the years, we need to, as important as those messages are, I think it's equally more important to win the people's trust back. I mean, we've been hearing so many different things about COVID and we were going to be done with it in 2022, blah, blah, blah. I know that's important, but I think a lot of people are so skeptical. They're getting tired of hearing all this data. My thing is, you know, once they figure it out, just share the information. You know, I know we're warning people all the time about, and this, it is important, but it's just that it's very tiring. You know, it's just a lot of numbers and data that's thrown at people that they don't understand. The average person does not, including myself. My wife is in healthcare. You know, I have people who are doctors in my family too, but it's like, it's very, you know, confusing. And I just think that people trust has to be won back. And before we throw all the data at them, just so that people can kind of feel comfortable and say, okay, yeah, I think I need to take this vaccination.
Let me ask you, Sid, how would you recommend that the trust be won back?
Well, first, one quick thing that comes to my mind, I know like on the national networks, you know, all the major news networks, they always talked about the gloom and doom picture about how many cases and how many deaths. But in my own experience, they were not really talking about how many of those cases that were infected got better and improved. I mean, you know, just because people just heard the doom and gloom thing and you hear conflicting information. So I think once they get all their facts straight, they meaning the healthcare world professionals, then give us the data. I don't need to know every single development as we go on. Like, oh, we tried these many people, this worked and that didn't work. It's just hard to keep up, man. There's too much stuff going on in life.
Go ahead, Dr. Tuxin.
Listen, this could not be a better comment. I really, really enjoy it. And I think this notion of the trust is absolutely key. I hope, sir, that I have done what I was supposed to do so far in this conversation, which is to tell you what we know and tell you what we don't know. And that's why I was very careful about the mask response. I was very, very clear to our brother about whether or not I'm recommending that people take, you know, will they take the new vaccine when it's available? And I was very clear that we can't answer that because we haven't seen it, haven't seen the data. And we're very careful about saying, though, those who are in a precarious situation do need to come talk to their health professional. But here's one thing I do want, which I really like the nuance of your point, and that is we don't talk about the good news. I want to make sure that I reiterate what I said earlier in this conversation. The black community, for the first time in history, closed a gap in disparities of health care with the white community. For the first time ever, we did that with the COVID vaccine. And what was the result? The result was, while we were mobilizing and getting our community vaccinated, the white politicians, the Trump people, the red counties across the country, their leaders told them not to do it. The result for them is, for the first time in history, black folks' survival exceeded white folks' survival because we didn't fall completely as a community into the nonsense of the far right conspiracy theory politicians. So my point is, the good news is our faith-based organizations, our community-based organizations, our fraternal and sorority organizations, our health professionals all bonded together. And the result was that we got enough of our community vaccinated that we saved black life after it was us that were dying so much more often before the vaccine was available. So there is good news, but we do have to be very careful. And this time around, none of us, I think, who are going to be in the public eye talking about this disease, we're going to be very, very careful about every little nuance that we say, because that trust factor is absolutely critical. And I cannot thank you enough for raising it.
Sid, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Di calling from Ellicott City. Did I get the name right?
It's actually Di. How are you?
Di, I got it right. Hey, wonderful. I tell you. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just have a quick question. I am an educator, high school teacher. I did catch COVID twice.
Mm.
when it came, yes. So what precautions should we be doing going back into the school year this fall? And also, you know, what should we be instructing our high schoolers? You know, are we still wiping down the desk? Should they wear masks? You know, humidifiers, things like that.
Well, this is one of the really, really tough questions, isn't it? And let me just be very clear about what we learned the last time. We learned how important it is to keep our kids in school. But we also learned that we got to do that in a way that does not take the wonderful teachers like you and put you in harm's way, especially given that so many of the teachers in our systems are caring for older people or have pre-existing conditions themselves. And so we've got to be very careful. I think the school systems are certainly much more vigilant now than ever before. And I certainly hope so, that they have continued to do the things that they need to do from the last time, but particularly also with attention to air handling systems and the water fountains and so forth in these schools, that infrastructure. And I think if I were you as a teacher, I would be very much involved with my union to respectfully inquire of the superintendent's office just how thorough those schools are prepared for the coming year. Now, if you are a person who is in one of those high-risk categories and you have reason with your personal physician to be concerned about you, then you'll have to take more serious steps as an individual. But I don't think you're going to see any major movement on the part of folks in the same way that we did last time, unless things get very serious very quickly. And I don't think we're there yet. So as an individual, you'll have to watch out for you. But I would ask your union to make sure that the school system infrastructure and the building that you teach in is ready for a safe return of these kids back to school.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Di. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to talk about the flu again as it relates to the broader conversation here. Because pre-COVID, we always knew, even as a kid, all the way through adulthood for me, that if somebody had the flu, you stayed away from them. If you shook their hand or what have you, or if you didn't know, even if they had a cold, what did you do? You washed your hands. You needed to make sure that surfaces were clean. You got Lysol or some equivalent. Cleanliness is a thing to fight against any disease. How am I doing so far?
Oh man, you're doing great.
Okay. So the reason I say this is because I just went to the CDC's website and it talked about again the flu, 2019 through 2020 deaths. And the reason I went to 2019-2020 is so that I could exclude COVID, but that was the last year. And there were 25,079 deaths related to the flu. That's just the flu, and I think that it's, I think, to make sure that we put this in context, you know, Dr. Tuckson, the flu has been around us for so very long, and we know that, you know, the flu is not a bad cold. The flu is the flu, and that we also know, unfortunately, that in some cases the flu can be deadly, not just for vulnerable or immunocompromised groups, but the flu can kill anybody. I wanted to kind of ask you to, you know, put some context on it and how, not only how we behave COVID to flu and where we are now and the fact that, yeah, even if you don't get COVID during this year, you can still get the flu. And it'll take you out of here.
That's for sure. And as I mentioned earlier, for those that were listening, we also have the RSV, the respiratory syncytial virus, which is also another lung disease and pulmonary challenge that's also floating around. And so all three of these are floating at the same time. So the point you're getting at is, number one, let's just remember that you need to be intelligent. Don't do stupid. Use your brain. You wash your hands. You eat a full and healthy, nutritious diet. You continue to exercise, and you get plenty of rest and sleep so that your immune system can be operating at its highest efficiency. You also want to make sure you get your flu shot during the flu season. That's one that is not very challenging to make. We know we have so much experience over so many years about the flu vaccine, and we know that it is certainly safe. It in terms of how well it works, Harold, over time, some years it works better than others. Some years, the guesstimate about what will be the strain of influenza is more accurate, more precise, sometimes not as precise. But even in its worst years, when it may not be as optimal as we want, it's still extraordinarily effective and certainly extraordinarily safe. So you want to get your flu shot this season, and you want to probably get that early in the fall, but not quite yet, but soon. So, again, common sense, but protect yourself and protect your immune system. Get your rest, eat right, exercise, and be prepared.
So I want to go back to something else I touched on earlier, and this is more of a research question. This is more of a battling COVID in the not just the here and now, but in the future. As you know, there are people who have never gotten a COVID vaccine and have never ever got COVID. From a research point of view, and maybe I spend too much time watching science fiction movies, but, you know, do we need to talk to these people about, you know, finding out, you know, having them do some kind of, I don't know, study to find out what they all have physiologically in common that kept, and not to mention geographically, that may have been a contributing factor to them not getting COVID during the pandemic? I mean, is there something in their blood? Is there something in their DNA? Is it something on their mother's side? Something on their daddy's side? What, you know, is it because they live in the mountains and we know that, you know, people in West Virginia got it just like the people who live on the Eastern Shore and in all places in between?
Well, let's first of all say that you have described very accurately why doing those studies that are going on are so complicated to do. And it is complicated to do because the variables that are involved could be, well, genetic. They could well be something about the particular, you know, where they live, how they live, what they eat, what they didn't eat, what they put in their body, what they didn't put in their body. A lot to learn. But let's just go to the fundamentals of your question. There are some lucky people who escape all kinds of diseases. And one of the great things about living at this moment in human history is that we are living in the moment of the genetic revolution. And so we will have the ability. We have the ability now to study human beings in a way that we've never done before, to learn about those individual protective factors. So when they're something to report, I guarantee you we will know more about it. But yes, Harold, the question you're asking, the answer is there is research going on now that's trying to understand just those kinds of variables. And then, of course, let's also remember something called luck. Some people are just lucky that time around.
Yeah, and I even think again for myself. So knock on wood, no, I do not want COVID. But just kind of looking at some of the factors during the pandemic. Number one, I live alone, so I think that was part of it. And while I think a lot of people were, you know, during the shutdown, you know, they stayed in house. I know I did not go out you know, at all very, very much. But then again, when near the latter stages of the pandemic, like I said, my father got it, but my father was a much older person. But then my sister got it at the height of the pandemic. I think it was November of 2020, and she's younger than I am, and she was in the hospital, oh my gracious, for I think more than 2 weeks. And we've had an opportunity to interview people who were in, you know, in their 40s and otherwise healthy, who got it, and those long haulers who after they got it really, really struggled to recover. And I think that's one of the other things that we've forgotten about, is that those who have had it, and even after they recovered, there were other factors that remained and may indeed remain with them to this day.
That is exactly the point. And so please, to those people out there who, you know, regardless of what disease we will be talking about, who just feel like they can luck their way through it, that somehow or another they're Superman or Superwoman, not a great way to go through life, being unprepared or unthoughtful. But here's the real crux of what you're saying on a larger scale, Harold, and that is this. Not only do we have a responsibility to ourselves, but we have a responsibility to the people around us. I believe in the core of my bones that Black lives matter. And so many of us as Black people, we spend most of our time around other Black people. And so the one thing we want to make sure, at least, that we don't do, even when we are very brave ourselves and have great bravado and great confidence in our own individual biological makeup, don't forget that we don't want to make sure that we do not harm another person because of the air that we breathe on them or the actions that we take, whether it's by getting in a car drunk, whatever it may be. But we have a responsibility to the people that we are around. And I believe that Black Lives Matter. I have an undying love for Black people. And so I find it very difficult for me to comprehend those that would play Russian roulette without knowledge, Russian roulette, not only with their life, but with other people's lives. We got to be careful going into this next season.
One of the things that, and this has specifically to do with you, I remember, again, during the pandemic when, you know, so many people were, you know, everybody was shut down. We were doing a lot of interviews with you. But even after things began to open up, you were reticent to come out. You are a man of a certain age, even though you look like you're 40. And so when did you personally decide that it was, that you were confident that, you know, as, again, as a mature man, mature aged man, that, okay, it's time for me to step out and begin to live some sense of normalcy?
I think that once I had received my last of the recommended boosters and felt that I was as protected as I could be, and once I looked at the data that was specific to where I live, and where I would be traveling to, if in fact I had to travel, looking at the data to find out what was the community spread. When that happened, and I saw the community spread numbers were very low, and I knew that I had given myself the best chance for boostering, then I made that decision as a 73-year-old Black man, that I made the decision then to start to go back to normal life. But even when I did that, whenever I had to encounter my mother, who is 97 years old, I will say that I lingered a lot longer with caution around her, because that was just a moral responsibility where I wasn't planning or willing to play Russian roulette with her life. I was much more cautious longer. And eventually, you know, we did get to a place now where she is, you know, maskless and we're all around her and enjoying her, you know, without restraint. But Harold, the answer was I was fully immunized. I knew that I had great antibodies in me. I was testing myself on a regular basis if there was any reason for concern, particularly, Harold, whenever I knew that I was going to be in a large group meeting, if I was going to be in a conference with other people in a room, then I knew that I needed to take my COVID test prior to going on the airplane to go out of town. Mm-hmm. And so that's the kind of thing that you do. So once you do that and you find that your test is, please, by the way, everyone, keep your test. So far, they think they will be working. From everything that we know today, they will work even with the new variation that is occurring out there now. So I tested myself. I can't tell you how many times I have taken that test, but I have never put myself willingly in a position where I could willingly hurt another human being, and certainly not another African American.
So that brings me to the next question. You spoke about your 97-year-old mother. Well, here at WHUR, our family is growing. We've had two new babies born within the past month. What should new parents do to protect their newborns as we move into the fall?
I think the first and most important thing there will be to be very vigilant at looking at the data for exactly where you live. Don't worry about the national data. Don't worry about the state data. Worry about the county data or the city data where you are, and to see what's going on. Secondly, if you're starting to see upticks, as we are beginning to see now, then you might want to be a little more cautious and careful about who comes into your home. But I don't think we're at that place quite yet. And so I wouldn't put up a barricade at this moment. But I would urge that family to definitely talk to their pediatrician, because the pediatricians may be seeing things a little more clearly than the rest of us. And this is, and I'll tell you why. I know you've got to go.
No, go ahead. You've got a couple of minutes.
We're very concerned about the lack of resources that are now available, or the requirements for states and others to report what they're seeing.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because where would somebody find that data now? I mean, you know, the CDC stopped reporting, you know, the states stopped reporting. So where do you go for that data? Do you talk to your doctor or what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The pediatricians have a network, and they will clearly know whether or not they're seeing a bunch of these cases in kids. The second way that we will know a little bit, and this sounds a little crazy, but one of the very good ways that we are finding the prevalence of this disease is through wastewater. So by monitoring the waste systems in our cities, we can pick up the frequency with which this virus is present in our wastewater. And that actually is not too bad a judgment. So there, those ways. But that's why I say, Harold, have the pediatrician, the kid with the parent, see their pediatrician, see what they're seeing. But right now, this is probably not the need to put the barricades on the front door right now.
For those who may be feeling uncomfortable about, you know, the newer vaccine for the newer variant, are the older vaccines still available, or where are we with that?
We still have the older booster. It is available, and that's when I was mentioning earlier that if you are a person in a precarious situation and your physician thinks that you should take that extra precaution, they will have you go ahead and get that booster, which is still available. But as my brother earlier took me to, you know, ask the question, I want to be very clear what I'm saying, what I'm not saying. I'm saying, not saying that we are preparing to ask people to take the new vaccine that'll be coming out in the fall. I will not make that statement until we have seen what's in it, how well it works, how safe it is, and so forth. But for those that are in a precarious situation today, they may well make a decision with their physician to get the existing booster, which we know is safe and we know it works well. And the proof is in the pudding, because of the death rates that we're seeing. Black folks, first time in history we ever had better death rates than the white community, and that's because we did our job on the vaccine.
I think that's a good way to end this discussion. Dr. Reed Tuckson, co-founder of the Black Coalition Against COVID-19, always a pleasure to talk to you, and as always, we will be in touch.
Thank you.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, August 14th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.